want to check us out on all of our social media platforms, on Twitter at TinfoilHatCast, reddit.com/r/TinfoilHatShow,
on Instagram at TinfoilHatPod,
or allcomedytshirts.com.
Email us at TinfoilHatPod@gmail.com.
Welcome back to another episode of
Tinfoil Hat.
Tinfoil Hat.
Tinfoil Hat.
Come with me into the waters of conspiracy with Sam Tripoli.
Sam Tripoli.
Sam
Tripoli.
Sam Tripoli.
Mr. Sam Tripoli.
Sam Tripoli.
With my friend Ryan Davis.
Hi, Ryan.
We're like
the first gay couple of conspiracy theory.
I think it's beautiful, man.
What are you out there, partner?
Say that again.
Dark realm, crazy shit.
Wake up, Aaron. There's reptile people everywhere.
Hey, man, where's the truth there, dog?
Oh, what the fuck are you guys even talking about?
Are you ready to get your mind blown?
Revolution will be podcasted.
Yeah, it will be podcasted. Welcome to another episode of Tinfoil Hat. You know who we are. You know what we're here to do. All right? Guys, thanks for tuning in. What's up, Ryan? How are you?
Woo, living, loving. Excited for SF.
Big week. Big week. It's the Tinfoil Hat Comedy Night. Comedy and Conspiracy Night at Cobb's Comedy Club. That is June 1st, 8 p.m., and then June 2nd at the Sac Town Punchline, Sacramento Punchline. Two of my favorite cities to do stand-up in, so it should be fun. Come out, rock, Eddie Bravo, getting weird. We're gonna do some, some stand up, some Q&A. Then we're gonna find out who brought the most people, bring you backstage, do a little podcasting with you, or we'll find somewhere to do podcasts because we have a second show after us.
You know,
so we won't be able to live in there. So go grab those tickets. Make sure you go to the Comedy Club website. Don't go to a third party. They're gonna jack you for cash. Don't
steal your identity. Sell it to Russian bots.
Sell them to, that's Mark Zuckerberg, which is great. So, we appreciate the 5-star reviews. We appreciate all the success. Your passion drives the show. I know you guys were kind of, it's been 50-50 on the last episode, and which is fine. You know, we did on socialism and libertarianism and all that stuff and capitalism. We were supposed to talk about Genghis Khan. Due to time restraints in the studio, we ended up talking about socialism, and I enjoyed the conversation.
It was great, man. You can't rush Tom Rhodes, man. I just wanted to listen to whatever you had to say.
And I just don't want this to become an echo. Before we bring in our guests, I just want to say, I don't want this show to become an echo chamber. I don't want to hear the things I already know being told to me by people. I want to hear all sides of the equation. The show will eventually get where I'll get two different people from both sides of the argument on at the same time to have a gentleman's discussion or a ladies' discussion about it as well. I don't want it just to be, you know, lizard people 24/7. That's just not what I'm into. I want to hear all. I want to expand the show. You know, I don't want to be limited to conspiracies. I want it to be
everything.
We're
learning. We're loving. You guys are getting us smarter, but our guests, man, they're opening our minds.
Yeah, I want it just to be a fun conversation. Okay, and just like if you just want it to be the right side or just about Hollow Moon. It's just this. It's not what this is, man. This thing's a growth and having a discussion, because I think you find out over time we're more alike than we are different.
Completely, man.
So why don't you introduce our guest?
Well, I'm really excited. From a podcast that I've been a fan of since it's how long has it been around now?
YKWD or Apodcalypse?
Apodcalypse.
Apodcalypse, we have 15 episodes.
There you go.
Nice. We're new. We're babies.
New.
So
yeah.
That voice you're hearing right there is Miss Gabby Bryan, everyone.
What's up?
And one of the funniest comics I know and a very good friend. He's just got done doing a really good run through some off-Broadway plays.
Yeah, regional, but yeah.
You don't have to qualify, dude. It's good shit. Regional,
it was on
national,
Broadway.
International. We don't know.
Yeah.
It's just you doing you, boo.
Yeah, man.
Right? You saw him on Two Broke Girls. Please welcome my friend Jonathan Kite.
Thank you. What's up, buddy?
So we haven't seen you for a while. You've been doing theater?
Yeah, man. I did a show in New Brunswick, New Jersey called The Nerd, and it was awesome. We were talking off mic about how, you know, we were about you really want to have something to say on stage.
Yeah.
And so for me, it was, you know, it was, I not that I ran out of stuff to do, but I wasn't enthusiastic about it.
Yeah, and I get that,
going
man.
Going through the fucking, you know, the motions, and it wasn't, you know, and I go, can't be good for this audience if it's not good for me.
I couldn't agree more. It's the struggle that I've been going through right now, this like where we're at and just life and just like, comedy's so interesting, man. Like, I remember taking acting classes, and like, the stuff they would talk about in acting classes was so taboo in stand-up, you know? Mm-hmm. Oh, you don't want to work dirty. You don't want to do that. And, like, every single, like, acting lesson, acting class, like, well, what's going on here? Oh, well, I'm concerned. No, dude, you want to have sex with her. You want to bang her. It's like, it was so raw and so real. And stand-up was just like, we just love to run from that. Like,
yeah.
We love to get raw about acceptable topics. And
right, because you don't want to turn off the audience.
I, dude, to be honest with you, I don't give a fuck if I turn off the audience. It's more about like what the owner of the club thinks, because, you know, it's just like
get booked.
Yeah, it's like we got to get like 90 laughs per second, or else we're not like these. And I don't know how you do that, getting real, real, like real.
Well, that's
real.
The thing. I do a bit about. I try to write a bit about like what I, you know, felt about racism. You know, and I remember I was up in. Canada, but really far north, and it's a bit about how there's a show out that Steve Harvey's Family Feud, and I think that show pits white people against black people. It's like Race Wars, the game show,
yeah.
You know. And there was the white people would not laugh at that, and there was one black woman in the back who was like, "I get it," and I'm like, "I'm just talking to you, sweetheart.
Yeah.
I don't care about anybody else in this room right now. I'm just talking to you."
If you're black and you listen to this this show, God bless you. Thank you. You know, we've tried to get into black conspiracies. There's like two of them. You know, there's like crack and then who shot Biggie. You know, those are the big black conspiracies out there.
Yeah.
Right? But I feel for them, because when they come to a comedy club and someone does a comic, and we'll say a white comic, does a joke referring to black people, there is immense pressure on the black people to overly smile and laugh at it,
yeah.
So everybody else can feel comfortable.
It's like
with
they're
it.
On stage just as much as you
yeah,
are.
They yeah. become part of the duo.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, it's like there's we teach racial sensitivity, but I mean we don't differentiate between racial and racism. And you know, it's like, you can't tell me to celebrate diversity and then also tell me I can't talk about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Which is like a big thing.
Well, that's what I because for whatever reason, maybe it's the shows that people who come see me, I'm not really sure, but I always go, do you think there's racism in America? And every time as I'm saying it, I look out in the crowd and I always say afterwards, a room full of mostly white people.
Yeah.
Do you think? And then they get very, you know, passive about it, where they sort of bobblehead agree with me. And I was like, find a brown person in this room. They're looking at you right now thinking, there's racism in this motherfucking room.
But there's also, like, when you go to black shows, like, you go to a there's these black comics on the road that you've never heard of.
Yeah.
That just sell out the improv.
Oh, my God.
There's a whole theory that if it wasn't for black comedy, most of these improv chains would
go under,
down.
Yeah.
Mm.
But do we ever hear black comics going, oh, where are the white people? How come there's no white people up in this motherfucker? Anything like that. It's very interesting, the whole play. When I went to upstate New York and I was seeing my family and I was driving around, I thought, man, if people actually came and saw how some people, how the world that they're born into, and this notion that all this or all, like how we make these generalities about people based on race, both like the notion that a white person's automatically born in the privilege. And like you see these people
absolutely.
Who are born yeah. with two strikes against them. And this isn't a white rally. This is like we're more alike than we are different. And like this fighting, like this Roseanne Barr shit, it's just like it's so like. It was so incredibly stupid that it makes you want to put on your tinfoil hat and go, there's got to be a conspiracy here because nobody would work this fucking dumb.
Yeah.
And I think she did. It's a dumb. I mean, like we were just talking before the show. It is basic human nature 101.
How could you possibly think that I should press send on that tweet?
Or that there would be no backlash.
You'd be like, this will be funny.
This will go unnoticed.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's yeah.
I work for a family TV show. Let me just post
on a Disney-owned network.
Yeah.
That has huge ties in its past to Nazism, and you're calling this guy a Nazi. It's like, listen, man, the truth of the matter is this. The higher up you go into any gig at all, the more money you make. And that money isn't really for doing the job. Mm-hmm. The money is really to just, you know, you represent the country. I mean, the company. You know, you're giving up a little bit of your freedom. It's just true. Mm-hmm. Or you go the role of, like, Joe Rogan, who creates his own market for himself.
Yeah,
and he can say whatever the fuck he wants because no one can fire him.
Yeah.
It's just, that's why I don't do that dance.
I think if you book big, just delete your Twitter. Just fucking delete it.
Yeah, because
it.
You think about all the stuff that they're fighting about people back in the, I mean.
Yeah, just sifting through old tweets.
Which that's what people do.
It.
The moment.
Is there an app for that? Or is there someone with
no fucking time.
Yeah.
All the time in the world. And that's the thing you think, because in our society now, once somebody gets big, trolls out there go, how can I take this person down?
And it's anybody, too. Melissa Villasenor, she's the nicest girl I've ever met.
The nicest person.
They tried to get her kicked off Saturday Night Live. And it has nothing to do with actually invoking any kind of change.
They don't care. They just want to see game hunting. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, that is their big thing. It's like, I cost him a gig. And it's like, okay, congrats, man. Yay for you. How'd you make the world any
better?
Right,
I was going to say, taking them down, they feel like it's a win column for them.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And you guys are all from, because I'm from the West Coast originally. Sam, upstate New York. Abby?
Jersey.
All right. And what's comedy like there? Do you still go back and play? What's it like West Coast, East Coast? Same thing to you, Ko.
I mostly go up in Brooklyn, little shows in New York and stuff like that. So I'm still kind of new to comedy. I've only been doing it for like 2 years. But there's a scene in New Jersey, like Asbury Park. I don't know if you guys like know the music scene down there a little bit, but there's comedy that runs through it for sure.
So
Stress Factory was right there.
Yeah, Stress Factory, Uncle Vinny's.
I know that Bill Burr said like he'd gone back to New York and he couldn't believe how sensitive some of the crowds were. And you know, and it's just going to eventually happen. I mean, like, the East Coast gets the same media we get. They get bombarded with this stuff. I think the thing that I like about New York over L.A., and there's probably a bunch of stuff you could say about that, but, you know, it's like, L.A.'s a very, and we'll get into your, this will lead us into your podcast, but
sure.
It's very segregated. Like, you don't really think about it until you really start thinking about it. Like,
neighborhoods. It's 27 different neighborhoods makes up L.A.
And they're all, like, the same kind of group in those kind of, in those things. So as much
it's like Hunger Games.
Completely. Silver Lake, Echo Park, Los Feliz.
You move to a certain where your crew lives.
It defines, there's so much about you that says. Now, not everybody falls into that stereotype.
Of course.
But it's like there's a general that you can say that there's a certain price point to live at any of those places.
Yeah.
And it's funny because a lot of those places have their own businesses. And if you don't have to, you don't see other people.
Yeah.
If you don't want to, you don't have to.
That's the fucking crazy part about LA.
In New York, I feel like, and I know there are still boroughs and, you know, but I feel like people all live on top of each other.
Absolutely.
And it's, therefore, if I make a joke about somebody, they actually have these people in their life and they realize, oh yeah, that's funny. That's an observation that's funny. You know, it's my theory that everybody should have to work at Denny's for 2 years after high school to get like how the real world works.
Yeah.
Like this notion that they, like these fucking crazy people on the left in this town keeps pushing to like get like 16-year-olds to vote. You mean the kids who have no life experience are going to vote on how we should live our life? We purposely make it so they feel no life experiences so they can develop who they are. And this whole notion, so when I go to New York and you can make fun of people more because everybody lives on top of each other.
And we're a little more like fucking brutally honest. We're like, all right, make fun of me, I like it, that's funny. Here everyone, the audiences are a little quieter, everyone's like a little more testy, you know, just like, I don't know.
I think a lot of it here is also celebrity culture that they want to see, oh my God, did Chris Rock just drop in to do a set? That's a lot of times, you know, I think I think places in New York that I've been to and performed at, like, you know, they're going to – the same type of comics like rotate in and out of there, and they just know they're going to get that. I mean, it may be famous people, but there's no expectation from tourists there. They might have heard of those comics. They may not have. But I think that a lot of the tourists here are celebrity obsessed in spotting them in some capacity, which is why there's TMZ tours and all that stuff. There was actually a tour bus that went through a neighborhood up in the hills, and my friend had a family friend that lived in a house next to him. And I go, why do these tour buses – keep going by that house at the end? And she goes, because tours lie to them and tell them that Gwyneth Paltrow lives there. And she's like, and Gwyneth Paltrow, she goes, she's never lived there. Like, you see the person who they're waving at right now? The tours tell them that that is the pool person. And that is, and so it's like they create this, oh, we might see somebody. And she's like, you will never see the people that they – I mean, not on, I'm not saying on no tours, you know, but it's just like in that specific, she said tours all the time, bring them to that house.
LA's in, I think LA's in weird places right now. I just think it's trying to figure itself out because, I mean, have you ever seen as many remakes – I mean, everything is a remake now. And there's so many creative people. If you go to the internet, it's so fucking creative. Yet the people with the money just want to put out the same shit. And it only pushes everything to the internet now.
Yeah.
You know? Remaking Mary Poppins. Can it get any more classic than Mary Poppins?
Didn't they just remake Mary Poppins? No,
it's like a sequel.
They made up a Blackie or Blanny or whatever. Blackie. Blackie.
We got to retract that statement.
Not mean to say.
So you think about the tours. You think of everybody coming here. And I mean, sometimes I'm stuck in traffic and I just think about if shit hit the fan, how the fuck am I getting out of here? And I know that Bill Burr specifically got into flying helicopters for the whole idea of how to get out of LA in an apocalypse situation. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what your podcast is about. Tell us about your podcast.
So my podcast is Apocalypse. We kind of just like make fun of different apocalypse situations. We go back in history. We did the Spanish influenza. Mm. We do like a zombie apocalypse, a tech apocalypse. It's fucking hilarious. But we talk a lot about bug out bags and what you're going to pack when the world ends.
Well, real quick before you get the bug out bags, because I love this topic. How do people become zombies? Is it super gonorrhea? Is that what makes everybody eventually become?
It's super herpes, gonorrhea, all over you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you get the super gonorrhea, and next thing you know, you're eating brains and shit.
Yeah.
Something's going to happen, right? That things go weird.
There's actually, I forget the name of it. There's this crazy thing that do you guys have cats?
Yes. No.
Yes.
You're talking
about cat face. You look like
toxoplasmosis.
You have cats. Yes, I am exactly talking
about
that.
What is it?
It's a blood-borne virus that affects mice.
I've heard of that.
That makes them attracted to the urine of cats, mm-hmm. so that makes them fearless. And then it makes them sexually active, whatnot. So if you have a cat, chances are toxoplasmosis will be transferred to you via a flea bite.
Mm-hmm.
And then you yourself are more likely to take more chances if you're a man to be a cage fighter, to drive a motorcycle. Or if you're a woman, you're more likely to be sexual.
But there's more. It's like it's this odor that comes off of a litter box, too, mm-hmm. that makes you obsessed with cats even further.
Oh, yes.
Like you get like a weird feeling in your body that you're like, I fucking love cats. And it's just
is that why cat people are so creepy?
Yeah. Yes, this is the theory.
Holy, wow.
It's a neurotransmitter. Yeah. I believe it's a neuropeptide that bonds you. Like when you make physical contact with someone, you're creating oxytocin.
Don't touch me. Crazy
Did you see
cat
that?
Person.
You like that?
That was so sensual.
If you hold, if like That's a couple hold hands for up to, I believe like 5 minutes a day, like solid hand holding. You end up lasting something like 10 years longer in your relationship. So it's the bonding chemical.
You just made it so every guy's got to hold hands for 5 minutes today.
Yeah, I'm never going to forget that.
It's all how you hold hands. You can't do the intertwine.
Locking that in.
What you do is
you
slit your palm open.
Yeah.
You did it to her, and then you just hold.
Blood brothers.
Yeah.
Well, here's the real crazy thing about that. Toxoplasmosis.
What's it called?
Toxoplasmosis. I believe it's something like 86% of all Brazilians are infected with it. Brazilians are sexy women that are carnival
with big dicks. Am I right?
No.
Brazilians are the best cage fighter. Jiu-jitsu came from there, so it makes you just the coolest person. Basically, you can probably dance.
It's
you can fuck.
Interesting.
And what about Brazilian cats?
They fuck.
You think Brazilian people fuck? Come to the Brazilian cats. They fuck. You know what I mean?
Oh man, that's crazy. So
yeah, it's wild.
So cat
the butts on those Brazilian cats. Woo!
They're gonna start the whole fucking zombie apocalypse.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's gonna start there.
What's it called again?
Toxoplasmosis.
Yeah, something.
Toxoplasmosis, dude. God damn, dude. We learned something today.
So do you have a bug out bag?
Okay, so
what is a bug out bag?
A bug out bag is a bag you will take when the world ends. You have to fucking leave in a second. That's your bag. That's everything you should have. right? So my co-host, Katie Hannigan, is obsessed with apocalypse. That's how we got into it. And she has her own bug out bag. I've never had one, but now I'm getting more paranoid as we do more episodes. I'm like, I need a fucking bug out bag.
Yeah. Yeah, because if there is an apocalypse, the co-host of a podcalypse can't be dead. Because
I'm the one who dies?
Yeah. She's like, how many times did she yell at us to get a bug out bag?
It's so embarrassing.
Unsubscribe.
Yeah.
She was trampled by people with bug out bags trying to go back in to get hers.
So, yeah, now I'm just thinking about what to put in my bug out bag. I don't know.
They gave us, I think, so when we, 1 year at Warner Brothers for Two Broke, they give you gifts. It's a nice thing. It's like, have a great season or whatever.
Sure, sure.
And I think they might have given us a bug out bag. I'm going to go home and look.
Yeah.
Because I was going through
go
it.
Go right now and come back.
Guys, can we pause?
Yeah, pause.
Quick pause.
There's dead air for 45 minutes. But we're still rolling. We're still rolling. And just me racing in. I couldn't call anybody. Guys, it was. Anyway, what were we talking about?
No, dude, it was a workout bag. Yeah. My bad.
So sorry.
Yeah. But it, I think it had like flares in it and stuff.
Oh, shit.
I think it was a bug out bag.
That's funny that they gave you that.
Yeah. I love it. Well, because I always think of doomsday preppers and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I love when like the news goes in, like a very, not that news people are normal, but they're supposed to be these unbiased, you know, like it's like Channel 10 news, mm-hmm. and they send somebody to the field to talk to like these you know, militias that are growing in the woods.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. it's like mm-hmm. the person who's like the most base is talking to the most extreme, but somehow the most competent of the people, you know, who's just not screaming like guns. So they got to decide on who their spokesperson is going to be.
Yeah.
And then they're trying to relay to you how what they're doing is like necessary because it's going to happen.
They're all very calm, too. It's
too calm.
Spooky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're too like, calm so for holding that many guns.
We'll take the tunnel and it's very cool. Yeah. We're prepared, but we are taking tunnels.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay.
Who dug tunnels? And they just like at 10 shovels go up.
Yeah. It's so interesting, man.
They're usually overweight and in their 60s. I'm like, how long are you going to survive?
Well, they're all
apocalypse?
A lot of them are ex-military.
Yeah, and cops. There's a bunch of Bronx cops that are preppers. And
whoa.
You're like, so you guys are just going to leave us?
We're
good luck.
Chaos breaks out,
there's no law. Yeah.
The illusion of structure will go away. And you could tell this because you ever see like a traffic signal go out? Chaos breaks out.
Yeah. Immediately.
It becomes knuckle dragger, alpha versus alpha on who's going to get through this fucking light. We act like there's some rules, but nobody fucking cares.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about this before, but one of my favorite sketches of all time on Saturday Night Live was Will Ferrell doing the news and then a teleprompter breaks down. And they come back from commercial and it gets farther. He's eating fucking people's heads and shit, right? It's like, the rules of society are just there to get us once everything's working well. Once that's gone, it is going to be chaos. But I always wonder if like, because you know, if it's like, we just did an episode with a buddy of mine from high school who's super religious and his name's El Dorado and that's his nickname. And he got super into the Bible and he was like breaking down like what is going on in the Middle East right now and how it's all just like end of days craziness. Like there are people who've read the Bible that are in very powerful places that are forcing this shit to happen.
Yeah, it's a script. Shit. It's not.
Yeah, yeah, they're taking it literal. Yeah,
like Brexit, the leaving, that is all old biblical craziness. Like the lost tribes of Israel, Brexit, UN versus the lost tribes of Israel, all this, all foretold a long time ago. And there's crazy people who invested so much time into this and they're getting into their 70s and their 80s and like nothing's happened and they're freaking the fuck out. So they're like doing whatever they can to get this rapture party started, right? Which is send as anybody in 23andMe that's got Hebrew in their DNA, boom, you can go hang out. They're just trying to pack it in.
So true. Well, if you look into a lot of the cults, like cults that said, you know, where the world is ending fucking September 21st, right?
Right.
And it gets to September 21st and always the cult leaders are like, like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Like 2 more weeks, probably. And then they leave. And then they fucking disappear.
They have to get out of there.
Yeah. They're just buying time. Yeah.
Y2K.
Yeah.
Everyone was like, it's going to restart. And then nothing.
And these are giant money grabs. A lot of Y2K
always
was just a money grab.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a pyramid scheme.
And it's just like, you know, you just, and we're going to get back into the bug bag, but it's like, you take a look at this, like, you remember a year ago, there were Nazis everywhere? Mm-hmm. Everywhere there was Nazis. You couldn't turn, you go look under your bed, there's a Nazi with a tiki torch hanging out, right?
Sure.
Like, nothing, don't hear about, where there's no tiki torch marches, anything
they
like that.
They just sat down, they're done, I guess.
Yeah, they're just like, they called it a day. You know, North Korea was everywhere. It's just, and like, you just start learning how, like, they can literally, like, turn the outrage on, press a button, mm-hmm. outrage, outrage, hit the button, outrage goes down.
Yeah.
Hit the button, outrage, outrage. And it's just like, they just emotionally manipulate us,
yeah.
right? So, like, if you're, I always wonder, and I know you're 15 episodes in, so I'm sure you're learning as you're going.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, is there immense pressure on people to almost have this apocalypse happen to warrant, like, all this investment into that type of lifestyle? Like, wasn't there a prepper show where, like, they were just prepping and prepping and prepping, and then
yeah,
they got bored, so
happened.
They started a weed company?
Yeah. I think people just need to fucking occupy their hands.
Yeah. Remember when before our time, but people had bomb shelters?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the bomb never came.
Do yourself a favor and Google $1 million bunkers and your fucking face will fall off. There are like rich people.
It's the new version
of
Cribs.
Yes, literally. They're spending millions of dollars on bunkers underground with like underground pools and fucking greenhouses.
That's their summer home.
I love that rich people think during the apocalypse there's going to be time to get a couple laps in at the pool.
It's hilarious.
I love that during the apocalypse that they're like, we better spend this money now because it's going to be worth shit when the apocalypse hits.
Yeah. For sure, dude.
Yeah.
For sure. That's that's why the people say that there's a lot of gold. People are hoarding gold now, which is a big thing. It's like, you know, it's like for me, that's weed. Like, I don't smoke weed, but I get sponsored by it, so I'm always taking weed joints. And I know eventually that's, you know, it's as good as collateral,
dude.
Oh, my
God.
In LA.
I can pay for shit. Hey, here's a, and then I, you know.
Yeah, but that's the thing. You're going to have to figure out the barter system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. So, bug bags. What?
Bug out bags.
Bug out bags.
Yeah.
How big is the typical bug out bag?
So people range. Like if you're a sane person, you have a little bag in your room filled with tampons if you're a girl. If you're a real
what's
prepper.
What's going to happen about that?
I don't know. That's all I can think about. I'm going to fill a bug out bag with tampons and contacts. What the fuck are we going to do? What if someone snaps your glasses?
You're fucked.
How blind are you?
I'm blind as a goddamn bat.
Uh-oh.
If it goes down right now, John, it's just me and you leaving this. These people are going to hold us back.
We're
dude,
done.
I'll use my Armo Rage and just get out. I'll go Hulk smash on everything and get the fuck out.
Like he just ran into a closet. Does he know that? He'll figure it out.
He'll get there.
So a bug out bag is a couple years worth supply of tampons and contacts.
I never thought about
that. An eyeliner
that.
Like, if you want to be cute after the world ends. Yeah.
Chicks having to like... Yeah, what do you do, man?
We're fucked. Leaves? I don't know.
What is going to happen
leaves,
with that?
I'll be honest with you, are not as absorbent as you think.
Have you tried that out?
No, but I always think about it in like Survivor and shows like that. I'm like, I know they're going for twigs to wipe their ass right now.
Do we just stop wiping our ass during the apocalypse? Are we all agree that like we're running around with poop butt at this point?
That's the least of our worries.
Yeah. First thing we lose in the apocalypse is ass eating. It's like it's gone. Like, we don't have time.
Guys,
we remember the good old days.
Yeah.
Remember when we used to eat ass?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Boy, the apocalypse really fucked that up for us.
Yeah.
Done. Oh, man. Those were simpler times, Sam.
Yeah. That was how my day.
That's how we're like categorized in history, the ass eating generation.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That went away.
As the ass apocalypse. Be like,
what a good time in
the
history.
Second greatest generation.
Well, there's five things you should have for sure. Water is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But what's more important is a water purifier.
100%.
A life straw. You know the life straw.
What is a life straw?
A life straw, we did a whole episode on it, is a straw that you put in your water and it filters it through the fucking straw while you're sipping.
It has charcoal in it?
I have no idea off the top of my head. I did know. You should listen to our episode. But yeah, it filters it. And there's also a flashlight that you flash into the water, and that purifies it as well.
What?
Yeah, yeah,
it uses UV protection. It shows on the website, it's like a little African kid just like kneeling down into like this disgusting pond, and you can just drink out of that.
It's crazy. Is this all available on Alex Jones' website?
Amazon.
Yeah. Oh my God.
The really? Life straws
I'm
on
only
Amazon.
Buying Alex Jones' brand, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's all about Whoa. Silver. You just got to consume so much silver. You know?
Oh my God. He's hoarding silver in his body. He's a silver mine.
Yeah.
The other one is you definitely got to have a first aid kit.
Hold on, dude. We got the light. You can.
So it's called a UV light. What it does is it basically kills anything, about 99.9% of stuff. But you can't just like drink out of like a cup of like AIDS blood and expect to be all right. But yeah. Everything else.
Hold on. Dude, are you saying that the light kills AIDS? Why wouldn't they use that right now? Just go around West Hollywood just hitting everybody with it.
Like Men in Black? Just yeah. Like,
Jesus. But wait. How much are we talking for this light?
Yeah, how much is this light? What are we talking?
Life Straw's cheap. I think the light is more like a couple hundred dollars. They're not that bad because people take them camping.
And let me ask you, do they wear out? Do I have to get another Life Straw?
Or that's what we were joking about. Like, what about, do we have to get batteries for it? What the fuck
you
happens?
Have to, by the way, because if Brita only lasts me 3 months, there's no way that this straw is doing more
yeah.
than that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It might be nuclear powered, and you probably just get.
Well, I get
you're just
nose
sucking
poison.
Radiation yeah. down. You won't live past 3 months anyway.
Yeah, I get nose hair trimmers, and they break after 2 weeks. They're $15. It's not
going to
last.
That might be on you, though. What's going on?
Well, I got Armenian nose hair, okay. So like that thing, it's hard to take it down. It's like yeah. cutting down.
It's made
a tree.
By Black and Decker.
Yeah, I'm deforestation. Yeah.
So yeah, definitely water, first aid kit, because out there, since injury can mean certain death, mm-hmm. I don't know if you ever got an infected cut out in the woods, you suddenly realize like, oh shit, man, yeah. Neosporin is a miracle drug. You know?
100%.
So, I'll throw Neosporin on everything.
Everything.
Yeah.
I don't even give a shit. I'll throw it on some hams and eggs.
And you ready? Here's a surprising one. A tarp. An 8x10 tarp is one of the best survival tools you can have in order to make a quick shelter.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Have you ever made like a lean-to or anything like this, guys?
Yeah.
You know what I've decided? You know where the real money is in? Fucking bug-out bags with wheels on them. Look how long it took them to put it on suitcases flying. Why don't we put some bug-out bags with some
how
fucking
American
wheels on?
How American is that?
Yeah.
If you can't pull it,
yeah.
And then
you know?
Then I'm going to leave it behind. It's like, yeah. Jerry, just put it on your back. And you're like, I'm not. I'm going to do that. And that's how we lost Jerry.
As soon as it got to dirt, he's like,
he's just over there like a Pinewood Derby car, just like putting wheels on. You're like, Jerry, just a hole in the back of that, buddy.
That's how towns will start. It'll be just like Jerry Lind. You'll be like, how'd this start? Ah, the guy was lazy.
Yeah. I'm not leaving here.
Shelter around yeah. him.
Well, you ever think about that? Like, how did settlers settle Phoenix, Arizona? Like, how hot it is?
How? Why?
Why would they just like, there? Fuck, man, let's just die here. And
they
then
just
some,
got hot. And they're like, can we stop?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then somebody came by a few years later and was like, you know, there's water like right there.
Yeah.
Are you just kidding me? I'm the mayor. I can't leave.
Well, one time when I was driving up, me and my buddy Scott, when I first moved out here, we had to go back to Vegas to do a charity event. And halfway to Vegas, my car engine explodes,
oh.
And we're it's at nighttime. We're stuck.
Are you past Zizix?
I don't know. It's so dark. I don't even know, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, my friend's like, hey, just stay here. I'll walk it. I'm like, you don't have to be brave, dude. He's like, no, I'm going to walk it. So he gets out, and he starts walking, and he walks maybe 10 minutes that way, comes back. He's like, there's nothing. We're stuck, right? So we go to bed. We wake up. Like, 20 feet that way was the phone. You know?
Oh,
he's just gone the wrong way, and he didn't find a fucking phone.
That's amazing.
Because it was so dark, man.
I just drove. I was in Arizona for Memorial Day weekend, and I'd never been to the Grand Canyon. I stayed in this place called Happy Jack, Arizona. And I was, when I got back, there was no gas in my car. I mean, I didn't realize it. And the closest gas station was 25 miles away.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do, you know?
You're
and
like, here's where I die.
Yeah. This is where, but I was like, what a view.
What a gorgeous death.
What a gorgeous,
what a great way to go.
To close my eyes.
Yeah.
And it was just, it was crazy. So, but it's like that, there's now these pockets where the people that I was renting the VRBO from, they had.
They're renting the what?
It's like Airbnb. VRBO was a cabin.
Oh, out so they there. Specific now.
They had, well, they there's like two different websites. Like there was everything on Airbnb was pretty much booked because it's Memorial Day weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And it was, we got, I went with my girlfriend and we had a, we found this amazing cabin, but it was literally in the middle of nowhere. It's like a doomsday settling.
Yeah.
You know, and it was like they had, they actually had a spare tank of gas. At the,
of course they
of
did.
Of course they did.
Fuck it,
and I said, you know,
did.
It's funny because they were so kind, the people that we rented from, but they were just like, yeah, you have to help everybody out here because there's nothing,
yeah.
You know what I mean? And like the cell service was no, I mean, it was like
how much
an apocalypse.
Was that a gallon? $50?
Brother, I work for them now.
Yeah.
I'm an indentured servant, bro. Are you kidding me? I got to go back. It was like, I said, it was life-saving. We couldn't get there because Winslow was the next town. In the other direction, it was 40 miles. And it was crazy. And you don't notice it. You're driving back. When I was driving back, I was trying not to hit animals on the road.
Yeah.
It's
they
true.
They start out. They're like,
huge.
Fuck it.
Yeah, yeah. And they were like,
fuck,
we live here.
Is done. And fuck, they, I'm a deer.
And
I'm
by the way, you see them on the road. So
yeah.
You know people hit them all the
yeah.
time.
Yeah.
And so anyway, it was ridiculous. And we get there. And then like the little fuel light goes on. I go, oh, man, that means I have like 20, 30 left. But I wasn't sure. And then I still had about 10 miles to go. So I'm like slowing it down to like use as little as I possibly can. You know, it's like being we're getting lapped by jackrabbits.
Yeah.
And then we pull off and it's just like, and then I message. I'm like, you know, do you have any suggestions? And they were like, yeah, we have gas.
Oh, that's
I was like,
so
thank.
Nice.
Oh, they were then. But it was they were so not such nice people. And they literally like Doomsday. They rely on other people.
Yeah.
Because their houses are not close together, which is part of the reason you buy the property out there. So you really, I mean, you can walk out there. You besides the wind, there was no noise. It was crazy. You just don't experience
yeah,
that, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And but it was really insane.
That's a whole world you think of just like being so unplugged from everything.
Talking about off the grid.
You're like,
it's so funny because we're used to being in the city, and I'm like, if I don't stop and get a latte before I get to my job, I'm gonna fucking kill myself.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So I was like, I have to drive 40 miles.
That's what it was.
For a water bottle.
It was 50 miles to Starbucks. That was because I was just like, let me just see where there's coffee, you know. And there was one that was like 42.8 miles. And then I thought like, well, that could be a diner, but I need something to go, you know. That they but the Starbuckses were in Flagstaff, which was 50 miles.
Dude, everybody hates that there's a Starbucks on every corner until there's not a Starbucks on every corner.
Yeah.
And then you flip the fuck out.
Even when I come here, like I'm used to living in New York and just walking down the street and being like, I need a Band-Aid and a latte and what was a seltzer, right?
Yeah.
Here I'm like, I have to fucking drive there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm gonna throw up.
In New York, it's like there's a Band-Aid store above a Starbucks, above a seltzer store.
And you live on top of
that.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. It's like, because I would go into the city a lot living, and it's so funny. When I would go there, I could just literally, like, I would come into Penn Station,
mm-hmm.
and then if I'd be like, oh, I need whatever, and then you just look and you'd be like, oh, there it is.
Yeah,
oh,
it's literally in my hand
yeah,
already.
It's unreal. And then here, going to get, like, the smaller, like, I dropped off something that needed a repair, like, before I left, and I realized I'm going to St. Louis this weekend, you know, and I was like, oh, no, I don't have enough time to drive and pick it up before I leave.
Yeah.
There's nothing, it's not near me. So I'm like, I guess I'll do without, or they just got that for free.
Our mass transit is so bad here because like in the 40s, I think, or the 30s, like GM just came in and they're like, oh man, we're going to take all your mass transit. And it's now Mexico City. All that mass transit is LA's old system, man. So we've been wanting to build like this train system out here, kind of like New York. The rich people won't let it go through certain places.
Well, that's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
Remember in Beverly Hills,
yeah.
they were trying to bring the train through, and they were kept saying, and the people were like, we don't want it by the schools. And so they made this huge I can't remember exactly what the argument was, but it was
– But we have train – we already have all these systems. They're down
and
there.
It's the better –
It's already there, yeah.
Why don't we just use that? Why do we got to build brand new – because it's all corruption and everybody's got
to
get paid.
Exactly. That's what it is. Think about Wilshire and La Brea, how long that train is being built.
Yeah.
I'm hoping my grandkids get to ride it.
It's just like cronyism.
Think about the Simpsons. They built that monorail in an episode.
Listen, dude, China isn't perfect by any means. What they do to their people is bad. I went and did stand up in China.
Yeah.
They were telling me they built 20 like five tunnel systems in 20 years because they just do it.
Well, but what about the buildings? They have a 3D printer that builds, because I was there for stand-up
a
too.
3D printer.
3D printer is building buildings. It's like, and we can't, and we are on our seventh president since that train started to get built. It's like unbelievable. Yeah, that train was named after Garfield. It was just like, it's not going to happen now.
I wonder if 3D printers can make bug out bags. Do you think they got that going?
That'd be cool.
They can make a lot of crazy shit.
Yeah.
So we need a tarp, right?
An 8x10 tarp is super important.
Why is it super important?
You can make shelter.
You can collect rainwater.
Why are we afraid of rain so bad? Is it that it makes
the pollution in the air, I think, a lot of times.
And then we get sick because we get cold?
Yeah, hypothermia. Pollution.
When was the last time you went like hardcore camping? Like actually camped under the stars?
That would be never.
Well, hey.
I did it growing up. My father was, we were in the Cub Scouts. I did Boy Scouts. And my father was our pack leader. And so we used to go camping all the time.
We would eat anything.
Cheers on you, my friend.
Good for you.
Yep.
Yeah, this guy's an Eagle Scout.
By the way, you should be the face of Eagle Scouts.
Yeah.
That's just called the Scouts now. The Boy Scouts is no longer.
Oh, I heard about that.
Oh, my God. I forgot about that.
But so the Scouts allows girls in, but the Girl Scouts won't let boys in.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, fuck y'all.
That's so typical.
I love that.
That's typical.
It's like, how many cookies do I need to sell?
Yeah.
I applied at this age.
But at the same time, only speaking from my personal experience, I'm like 13 years old trying to hide from girls that I'm in Scouts.
Still at 13?
Oh, yeah. You have until you're 18 to get your Eagle Scout. And I got it like on my 17th birthday party.
Yeah, you have until that 18th
year. Very cool.
Is that like getting a black belt?
It is less than 3% ever achieve the rank of Eagle. If I was to go into like the military, I would have moved up a couple ranks automatically. It's a pretty hard.
It's hard.
Whoa.
Yeah, I didn't get there.
It's like the Navy SEALs of like kids.
Steven Spielberg, Harrison Ford.
Yeah, there's a lot. Yeah,
the dude that supposedly walked on that fake moon set right around the corner from here.
Oh, Bruce.
One small step for.
The actor Neil Armstrong.
Yeah.
So we
IMDb that shit.
That's his only credit. And From Here to the Moon with Tom Hanks.
Never did an interview about it. Isn't that crazy? Like, you've done one of the greatest things of all time, and you've never done an interview on it?
Very strange.
It is very strange.
If he grew up with Instagram, wouldn't be possible.
He'd be on there every day being like,
I'm on the moon.
With a puppy face.
With the moon graphic. He has like, take me 2 years later. I'm like, that's Mars, you son of a...
not to get to... Do you still do Tom Hanks? Because that is one of the... does anyone...
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, I mean, you know what's funny is because I honestly...
Can we get him to do some promos for Tinfoil Hat?
Yeah, I can do that.
Cool.
It's funny because you were so nice to me because you put me up when I first started doing stand-up. And, you know, it's funny. I used to do a lot of impressions because I didn't have any... I mean, I started when I was in the second season of Broke Girls. And so I was just going up and doing, you know, a lot of voices and stuff, nothing personal, because the show for me was like a separate thing that I didn't want to bring on stage. Yeah. It was like a different world that I wasn't like... I had such a positive experience. It's like there was nothing to complain about. Not saying that that's what comedy is, but like I didn't even have... like my perception of it, I was trying to find the humor in it, and I was like, nah, just leave it what it was, but I could do voices and stuff. And so, it's funny, I'm trying to get back into it because I'll figure out, that's what I tried to do when the time I took off. I took like two months off, and I've tried to think about a couple things about it. And it's funny because I haven't done these impressions in so long, and I was like going over them yesterday because I'm going to do them in St. Louis. And so it's like, but I did Tom Hanks because I was trying to do impressions of people that I had never heard people do impressions of.
Mm-hmm,
you know, mm-hmm. So that was like.
How did that one start? Because like, how do you, because that's, no one does. Everyone just walk in. Everyone just Stallone.
Well, I felt bad for impressionists for a while because, you know, Ben, I mean, it became just where you had to be a pretty person. How do you do an impression of a pretty person?
Well, that, you know, what's funny is that the older generation, like if you think of, I don't know, John Wayne, those type of guys, they were sort of. Hired and praised for their on-screen personality. Whether they were like that or not, who's to say? You can watch interviews, but that's still public. And the thing is, with now, you're sort of rewarded, especially dramatic actors, for losing yourself, like Philip Seymour Hoffman or Christian Bale. You know, and so it's definitely harder to do impressions of people today. You know, there are comedians, like I can do Seth Rogen, I can do Vince Vaughn, stuff like that. But it's like when you think of the actors today, like, you know, people try to do like Jake Gyllenhaal or Ryan Gosling.
There's
it's like
no such thing.
It's so, I mean, you know, like I could sort of hear every now and then you sort of hear something that you can do, but to do it long enough that somebody would recognize it in a crowd and then have a joke on top of it, because, you know, a lot of it's hard. It's a weird thing. But I learned Tom Hanks because I did The Burbs is one of my favorite movies of all time. And I grew up in I grew up in a neighborhood right outside Chicago, Skokie, Illinois. And for Nazi fans, that's where the Nazis marched in the early 80s and or late 70s. And we had a neighborhood where it seemed very peaceful. Like, you know, it just seemed like very, everything was like peachy keen, shit. And when I was growing up, there was a delivery from Saudi Arabia of a huge hand-carved picture frame, like 10 by 10 feet. And the cops, I don't know if they had a tip or whatever, they broke into the house and they opened it up and it was filled with bags of heroin. And then by the house that was adjacent to the school, a cops did a raid on that. And there was like a Terminator 2 armory under the floor. That they just pulled guns and grenades and everything. So it was like there was a lot of this stuff. But then you think like we had the quiet town. Yep. And so when I watched The Burbs growing up, I thought that was the funniest movie. I mean, I thought it was so true. And so I like at the end when Tom Hanks is like screaming when he's like, "Ah, take me to the hospital." And so I always just like that because the guys are like he's at his like wit's end. You know, at the end of the movie when he can't figure out if these people are bad or not. And it's like, you know, you don't want to judge people. Like, you don't want to be racist or stereotypical in your thought process and judgment. And so that was like the first time I just plucked it out was hearing him do that. It was just like.
Is he the only good guy left? I feel
he's the only dude that
just nothing's hit in this time of like
and we need
scumbags.
Him. Yeah, we need him.
Like Morgan Freeman's going down.
Is that crazy?
It's unbelievable.
I haven't heard the accusations, but do you guys think once the apocalypse hits, like political correctness goes out the door?
Oh, for sure.
Absolutely.
I mean, everyone's just hungry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, well,
it doesn't matter.
Where's Susan? Oh, probably bitching about fucking pay gap difference.
Yeah. You know? Where's Susan? We ate her.
Yeah. The first one to go is the
annoying gap.
Feminist.
The arm from your shoulder. There's a gap. Yeah. Nom, nom, nom.
Well, we're lucky to be over here in WeHo because if the apocalypse does break out, what I know about 80s movies is you need to have like a catcher's mask, at least one shin guard.
Totally.
Maybe some sort of like mesh.
What movie are you talking about?
Mad Max.
Mad Max, the second one, 100%.
Every like in the post-apocalyptic world, everyone's wearing like leather and you got like one spiked shoulder pad.
It's very sexy in movies, the end of the world. It's even like sand and leather.
You're going to have to shave your head immediately, cover your face with ash.
Let's do it right now. I'm ready.
Well, you said you were taking eyeliner, but I'm like, I'll just take charcoal. That does a lot of stuff. You know, you do the under here.
You can burn it.
Yeah, multi-purpose stuff.
We break into the
posture chest. You don't want the sun getting in your eyes, for sure.
No, you can't. You lose a fight that way.
Yeah, for sure.
Ray-Ban thieves go through the roof of a theft. But you know what's funny? My favorite, I love apocalyptic movies. I've seen them, all of them. I love, even though there's no truth or possibility in this movie at all, Waterworld. Is my favorite one because they're like it's like Mad Max but on water.
Yeah,
that would never happen. Even if all the polar ice caps would melt, we would have. Have you ever seen Waterworld with Kevin Costner? It is
$300 million.
It was a
piece of work.
Bombed. Well, they had a whole atoll built outside on the West Coast, like from here to Hawaii, and then a storm took it away, so they had to rebuild it. It was crazy, and it's about this guy who's like he's evolved, and he has gills, and they call him the Submariner, and it's like it's essentially it's unbelievable, and there's no part about it that's factual, and I'm like, man, that is a tough stick to draw in the apocalypse world.
Is that weird where like even though we know this is fiction? We want it somewhat based in reality. Yeah, like, there's some basic rules that has to be. You're like, oh, that would never happen. You're like, it's the Avengers. Nothing of it's enough.
But
that doesn't ring. That doesn't ring true.
And I go, there's not enough oxygen in the air if you like take out the trees.
Yeah.
I'm like, come on, how are these guys breathing?
Yeah.
Now, the fish man I buy, but this is the breath thing? Come on.
Because there was a time in like the early 2000s where like Hollywood really loved to make waif models into like action stars.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that was like these girls. Like I used to have a great bit about it. It's just like the only thing they're fighting is anorexia, right? It's like they can't even lift a gun.
Right.
But
they're fighting
like
hunger pains.
Everybody's ass.
Yeah.
Mila Jovovich, dude. She punched you. Her hand would shatter.
Do you know how heavy those guns are? It's like, oh my.
Oh, and when you shoot them, your entire body flies back.
The only thing realistic about that is you think of Arnold Schwarzenegger. Because when he does Terminator 2 and he cocks the gun and you go, yeah, a man made of metal could do that feel no recoil. That's the most factual thing I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, because when you shoot a gun for the first time, you're like, oh fuck. They don't show you that kickback in the movies, right?
No.
Right?
Yeah, when we went shooting, the very first time I pulled the trigger, I immediately was like, I was like, maybe you should
try. That noise came out.
Listen, dude, if you're anti-gun, you probably have never shot a gun. Like, you shoot a gun, you're like, oh, I get this. I fucking get this real good. You know what I'm saying?
We got gun fever, like, in the matter of a half an hour.
Yeah, I would like to go shoot more guns. I'd like to, you know, understand that stuff a little more. But, yeah, it's crazy. Once you shoot, you're like, I get this.
See, everyone's always like, I'm going to get bullets. I'm going to get water. But in a real post-apocalypse scenario, you need knives. All right? You need multiple knives, to be exact.
Oh, multiple knives?
Mm-hmm.
So a Swiss Army?
Bushcrafting knives.
Bushcraft experts suggest 3 blades.
3 blades?
Do you know about bushcrafting?
No.
Wait, 3 blades like a shick? Like a
So one should be a large fixed blade survival knife. Think about like Rambo, you know, shrinking fools.
Sure.
A second should be a small folded everyday task, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then the final.
Whittling knife?
Yep. And final
one should be a butter knife to butter your bread while you're moving?
No. I don't know how much butter there is.
Butter your bagel? Got to get that in.
Yeah, butter really fell off in the apocalypse, bro.
Butter and butt eating right out the window.
God damn it, the 2 B's.
R.I.P. butt.
The third should be a multi-tooled, like a Swiss Army knife.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, for
Why
sure.
Why wouldn't you have a samurai sword in there?
That's what I always say. I'm like, what about a fucking sword?
Yeah, why not?
So bushcrafting, man.
You don't answer it. I think you're part of the... I think you're compromised.
You do have a katana sword. You look like a guy that has a katana sword.
Oh, for sure, dude.
Yeah, those are katana glasses. For sure. Have a
I really
sword.
Want to take samurai... There's like one of the last samurais in the world is downtown L.A., like, I'd love to take
class. How are we not doing that?
Where is he? Japan? No, Compton.
Yeah, he's downtown Los Angeles.
He's at the Ace Theater.
Yeah.
Sushi chef is chopping that. You actually know one of the most world-craft bushcraft party boys. Do you know who bushcraft party boys are?
Who? No.
I did. Your buddy Ari. He's one of the 3 bushcraft party boys right now.
Oh, he's one of the 3?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The other one
we do it. Bobby Kelly. So I produce Bobby Kelly's podcast, YKWD, in New York.
Ridecast.
Ridecast. Fuck yeah. Him, Ari, and Joe List are upset or call themselves the Bushcraft Party Boys. And they go into the woods and they go pretend like they're intense camping with all their fucking knives and their bear bags. And they bring steaks. It's very glamorous.
Yeah.
But in their minds, they are the Bushcraft Party Boys.
How do you think compilation or that, I don't know if that's a word, but that group of genetics, how do you think that group would do during the apocalypse?
Oh, very bad.
Yeah.
I think Ari would survive.
Ari would survive?
Yeah, he's a fucking scrappy little Jew.
Yeah.
And he's always naked, his balls are always out, and he's okay with that. I think he'd get fucking survival instincts. Joe List is very nervous.
Yeah.
He's got a small mouth.
Yeah.
He won't be able to blow. They tried to start fire, and he couldn't even get the fire going. So
I love how that's where that blow went. He won't even be able to blow. I was like, who, the alpha dog? Yeah. Like, what are you?
Yeah.
No, trained fire. He won't be able to blow fire.
End up being a trans at the end of it.
Bobby.
And Bobby. How do you think Bobby would do?
Bobby is very learned on all the bushcraft things, but he gets winded pretty fucking quickly. Yeah.
But I don't think you're meant to be over 45 in the apocalypse.
There's a time limit.
Right.
Likes mowing his backyard, so I think he'll probably just stick to that.
You guys run. I'm going to stay here, do some lawn maintenance.
Well,
you
hang out with my son.
A lot of that stuff, they're in those post-apocalyptic movies, they're all young.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Old people did not survive.
Yeah.
There's like one elder.
He's
30.
In the new Mad Max, do you remember the guy at the top of the mountain? He was old.
But you gotta be like already at Joe. The top of the mountain.
Yeah, he was already there. You can't be like
the
a
bad
peasant.
Guy who was like Arter!
Here's a forgotten one. Remember the postman?
Brother, I own it.
And remember, so he goes to the town and the mayor and he goes, weren't you? He's like, I once was. And it was Tom Petty.
Uh-huh.
Was Tom Petty
it
in
was.
The future. He's like, I once was.
I like that. I like that.
And
then he had to go fuck it up and die from a drug overdose.
I feel like a little, I kind of killed Tom Petty in a way. Remember we were driving by his last, one of his last concerts by the Hollywood Bowl, and you're like, what's all this shit? I was like, man, it's Tom Petty. He's going to be dead anyway soon.
Yeah.
And like a week later, Sam's like, you killed Tom Petty.
Yeah. I was
like,
you had a prophecy.
Yeah. Yeah. Damn.
Yeah.
You guys want people taken out, man. I can make it happen.
Yeah.
Fuck
for
yeah.
sure. So I killed Stephen Hawking.
Yeah?
Yeah. I was doing, I did a joke about him, zombie apocalypse, like Stephen Hawking being a zombie, like, you know? Literally 2 minutes later, he died.
2 minutes later.
I'm dead serious. And I got all these tweets like, you fucking killed Hawkins, you asshole.
What if
like,
they took you down for that?
Yeah.
That was your Me Too.
For murder.
Like, you fucking
yeah,
killed.
That, yeah. What was Sam Tripoli known for? Was he a comic? I don't know. I just know that he murdered
Yeah, he
obvious.
Murdered a man trying
he
to make
have
the
been
world
a comic.
He's a witch.
I don't really remember.
He's a fucking witch.
Yeah. For sure. So you got three knives.
Yep. You need those. If you have an axe, that'd be good. But I mean, it is what it is.
Well, you got to chop wood.
Could just break, you know, you, that's what these bushcraft, that real fixed thing is designed for. So you use a rock to kind of
bushcraft is
it.
Like the whole thing is metal, and then the handle is around the metal end. Usually knives are just metal and then attached to the wood end. I know this is audio medium.
No,
I'm just fucking
it's fine.
Act doing an act
it's
out.
It's fine. No, there's actually cameras. So people on YouTube will like it.
So definitely we got to get these five things in our bug out bag. Everything else, you guys figure out, you know. And be sure you want some sort of headlamp. They have like headlamps mm-hmm. like that actually are, you know, wind up style so that they'll last longer because batteries ain't going to last.
Yeah.
Know?
Well, there's the Russian one where you do this with your hand.
Yes.
And then it just goes.
Yeah. I mean, how about you just like chill out in your house till the sun comes back up? Like, yeah. Why are we walking around in the fucking dark in the forest at night?
Oh, we got to get out. When shit hits the fan, we got to move out of the metropolitan area.
Yeah, because people start killing other people.
Well, I think the key is let everybody go crazy at first, then slowly make your way out.
You
like bunker down in your place with your guns, your lady, and your, you know, and you just chill out.
A staycation during the apocalypse.
Yeah.
I get it. Yeah.
Light a couple candles.
Just let shit
get
go nuts
cute.
For about 2 weeks.
Watch some DVDs. You
let
guys always said you'd do it.
Yeah. Just sit quietly. And then, dude, when it's done, move slowly through the night with rollerblades on. Rollerblades, I think, are a big key to the apocalypse.
Very cool.
To just get out of town.
Very
and move
cool.
quickly without
oh
needing
my
gas,
God.
Right?
Oh, rollerblades and really short shorts.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't want the wind resistant of pants, bro.
For sure.
After this podcast comes out, Amazon's going to be like, rollerblades, bushcraft knives,
yeah,
and
people,
tarps.
People who purchase tarps
right
also purchase rollerblades.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure, dude.
And
guys,
butter.
Crazy, dude. Rollerblades are the key to getting out of town fast.
And stay away from grocery stores, because that's where everyone's going.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So do you guys have pets? I know you do, Sam.
Yeah, she's surviving, dude. If you think I meet my dog, you're fucking nuts.
I'm not saying...
I'll kill everybody before I kill my dog. Everybody dies.
You know what's good? Dogs can take care of them, like, with you. You know, they can take care of themselves. If you're like, let's go, the dog will just move on its own.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah,
they get it.
Yeah,
they're not
they
like
get
fucking
it,
cats that make you want to be homicidal.
What happens with the
toxoplasma
people who are like, I fucking love my cat.
Yeah.
I can't leave
it. Yeah, they go to a place called Cat City that we build for them. It's just a big sandbox where they can shit.
They all worship the cat. There's this one cat up there, dude.
Jerry licking his balls?
Yeah.
Have you guys heard of these underground cities that are existing right now in the U.S. everywhere?
Yeah.
Underneath Vegas?
What?
There's.
I don't know that one. I know the underground tunnels.
Yeah, there's underground
tunnels.
Oh,
yeah, we've done a show on that.
But no, there's actual
thrilling.
Cities beneath Vegas right now. Vegas is one of them where people are living in the tunnels.
Yeah, but they, I mean, like, but it's not like.
It's like a city, dude.
But it's like homeless people, right?
It's like the apocalypse started already.
Oh,
Vegas.
I pictured a fucking, like, Atlantis. For a second,
oh,
when you
no.
said
yeah,
that.
I don't know what, because in LA, where we were talking about those train system that's already there,
mm-hmm.
is just like
a homeless city,
homeless crazy.
Yeah.
Like you would have to go in there, going, "All right, the train's gonna start working. Let's round them up and like
yeah.
find like Crocodile Guy and all the weirdos that were in the X Files.
The people,
they're
yeah.
all down there, right?
Yeah, that's in New York too. There's a tunnel system in Romania. Did you know about this? There's under Bucharest, Romania, there's all these tunnels and all these orphanages got during the fucking revolution. All the orphanages got shut down. So there were all these kids that had nowhere to go. So they went into these tunnels under Romania and they've lived there ever since. And they're all fucking, your face is so funny. They're all deformed. and they huff drugs, so they're all literally like crippled under these.
Is that the future, huffing drugs and all that shit?
It's crazy. They're all fucking tatted up. All of them have HIV for some reason.
I love how that my favorite thing about that is, so like there's no order. There's no law down there, but there's a lot of tattoo parlors.
Yeah. Everyone's like, you want a flower? Yeah. You want a fucking flower?
You got that at Morty's?
And they
blast
club music.
Put the Raider logo right there.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Of course, it's Europe. Club music everywhere.
Yeah, it's Euro trash down there. They blast
club music. They have DJs. They only have DJs in tattoo parlors.
Like, if you took the opening seat to Blade, and you just made it white trash, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's Romanian underground. That's clubbing right there.
Yeah, it's
how much you want this dog. Get a taste fat, get a face tat and some HIV, and let's see if you fucking want in.
If you
dog.
Like the club.
Yeah, right. That's their initiation.
Yeah.
I mean, you like to dance?
Yeah.
Some people are just born into a world of shit, man. And
it's
just
crazy.
Like, that's what that is like Lord of the Flies right there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, yeah.
If you just let
no
people
one's coming
to themselves,
to say, yeah.
And it's just like, oh, you're going to have a face full of tats and a body full of AIDS eventually.
And they just know they're down there and they're like, yeah, that's the
fuck it,
mole
dude.
People.
Yeah.
The reason I made that face is I went to Bucharest. I'm Romanian. And so
really?
I grew up in these weird tunnels. No. And
look, you pull back hair, you have a bunch of tattoos.
It just says
MS-13.
But I was there, and it's so like it's interesting. It's a very, very interesting place because there's people are very friendly, but there is something every now and then you meet people and there's like a real oddity. And we met this guy.
It's a little spooky.
It is. It is. I was there for Christmas like 2-3 years ago. And my buddies and I went and we hired a guy to take us around the country. And it was he was a guy that I'm like, if I told you, I'm like, oh, he's right there. You're like, dude, there's no one there. Oh, that guy, he's been dead for 40 years. He's one of that type of guy. He had the eyes of a man. I'm going to send you a pic. He had the eyes of a man that had seen 1,000 deaths. And like you just saw that guy. We're driving. I mean, it's unbelievable. And this guy, you could just tell like he feared nothing. And I was like, I wonder where that guy grew up. What's that guy's story?
You know, it's like we always hear these things about like, oh, in the 1700s, there's the plague. You're like, that shit is all going on right now somewhere that Rachel Maddow's on MSNBC isn't telling you about. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, it doesn't affect us. It's like when I was overseas and then there was a – before Syria was sort of closed off, there was like a huge – I can't remember what happened. A bomb exploded in Syria. It didn't even make like the first 7 pages of an American newspaper.
Yeah.
And it was like from – I was in Japan and it was like all over the news. Like this happened in Syria. These many people died. Nothing. Oh, I called my dad. I said, what page is that on? He's like, oh, let me flip through. It was like 8, I think, was the page.
Dude, when the first invasion of Iraq – when we invaded Iraq the second time around after 9/11, like a year and a half after, there were humongous protests all over the world. And the news didn't tell you
at all
any of it. And that's why I just laugh at people. It's like you trust these people who have busted lying to you 1,000 times before. And you just like this is a conspiracy show and we talk about it. The difference between us and everybody else is we keep score. Like we keep score. When other people just move on, it's almost like a goldfish mentality.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what's next? What's next? It's like this, you have no object permanence. Like everything is for the first time and you want super trust. It's like, I've seen this script fucking before, man. We live in crazy.
You know what's funny about object permanence is they were saying with social media and everything that people are going to be starting to get dementia in their 30s and 40s.
Whoa.
Because we can't retain anything. And so it's unbelievable. So
the notion that people are dumber now than ever, I just don't agree with that. People are just oversaturated with useless knowledge.
Well, their brain, their brain doesn't retain. Like
you only have so much room.
Yeah.
What is the other 90% of your brain being used at?
Dude.
It's got to be for the simulation
machine,
holding
water.
That's what
there's
runs.
Something.
Right? It's got to be the simulation machine that sits like it's Wi-Fi. So the aliens who are running everything, that's how
just,
they keep
they
you moving.
Plug in.
Yeah. There's just a little alien in there like.
It's Krang from.
Just driving stick shift for some reason.
Two stick shifts. He's like, it's like a forklift truck for this dude. He's like. It's like, you know, those claw machines where you have like two. He's like, oh man, I didn't mean to pee. Now I'm pooping.
Fuck.
we can't get it. We're like, it's like when you drop your phone and you can't get it right away. There's a guy in your head going like, no. Can never get the bear.
Checking all the mirrors. Yeah. You're like, fuck.
Backing up.
Objects may appear smaller than they appear.
Oh, shit. Oh. Well, hey, guys, where can everyone find everything about you guys, everything? Let me know where... tell them all where they
cool.
can find
you can follow me personally on Instagram at Gabby is Brian, and then listen to Apodcalypse. We're on Instagram, The Apodcalypse. Funny shit, rate and review, and then YKWD podcast with Robert Kelly. Check that out too.
I love awesome. It, John. I forgot to. Do you have any gigs coming up, by the way, that you want pushed?
I have a monthly show in Brooklyn. If you're out there, it's called Jiggy with It. Just look, check me up on Instagram. Yeah,
at Jonathan Kite, JonathanKite, and then I will be in St. Louis. I got to remember this because I'll be there this weekend. They're doing a St. Louis Comedy Festival.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. It's going to be Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of this coming week, and I'm going to be there with Ian Bagg.
Nice.
And yeah, it should be pretty great. So we're pretty excited about it.
Well, I'm super happy for you, man. You guys were great on the show. Thanks
for having
me.
Yeah.
Well, guys, this comes by the time you hopefully
tomorrow.
Hear this, San Francisco. Come on, come get weird, dude. We sold a bunch of tickets up front, so I think we'll be fine, but let's do it. I love you guys. Leave those 5-star reviews. Check out all the new t-shirts, man. We got so many new t-shirts. All comedytshirts.com. Bye.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first 3 audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.